any issues, matters arising, can I get a proposal back up? Any other matters rising on the action sheet? Can I get a poll on second up?
Opposed.
Councillor Hyland, second. Councillor Corrigan. Okay, moving on to item four. I made a presentation from Tourism and I on the Tourism Park Development Market Research. We have John McGrillan to the left and Rosemary McHugh from TNI. So, Rosemary, do you want to say a few words before the presentation?
Yeah, sure. We're delighted to have both John and Rosemary here from Tourism and I. We've been doing a lot of work with them just in product development, market research, and on marketing as well. So they're going to give us a bit of an overview just of the market research and how that potentially can benefit the Yeri Moor and Down region. And I'm really going to hand over to John Rosemary to present.
And following the presentation, John, just before you start, we'll be taking any final which is linked to this presentation right after I can pause. So you go, John.
Okay, goodbye. Thank you very much for the invitation. From what we think of it, mostly to come down this thing, I believe. Just to set a little bit of context, about 16 months ago, we took in front of the then economy minister, Senator Hamilton, to talk tourism strategy. And this would be as a result of the fact that we've not had a minister in place for over 15 months now, and that a tourism strategy wasn't launched. We decided along with our board to review, I suppose, some of the content of that because time has moved on and the numbers of visitors that we have from the Northern Ireland increased, and we felt it was appropriate to review that. But essentially, what we're planning to do is over the next 12 years or so to double the number of visitors that we get coming to Northern Ireland, or at least double the value of the tourism industry within Northern Ireland. And to do that, what we need to do is to get more people to come from overseas, and when we get those people to come, we need them to stay longer and we need them to spend more. And part of the strategy to get people to stay longer is to make parts of Northern Ireland more appealing to the international visitor. So in order to do that, we need to, develop a number of products or a number of attractions which will be, attractive to the international visitor and can meet their needs. So over the last 8 months or so, we've been working very closely with our colleagues in Tourism Ireland and Fox Island in terms of how we ultimately develop product web crafted items. And as a result of work that has been done by Fox Island, we have decided to adopt a similar approach. And that was really to, test products in the marketplace before we go about investing in large sums of money. So essentially, to allow us and the council that we work with to establish whether or not some of the ideas that we might have basically will be, attractive in the marketplace, will actually meet the needs of visitors, and therefore we'll see people come, we'll generate an income that can be sustainable in the longer term. So we just want to today take you through that piece of work, how we intend to apply that, and how we apply to this particular district. And as Lee said, we've given this presentation to the directors of the 11 local authorities, and this is the first opportunity we've had to present to the council. So that's principally what we want to do. Rosemary is going to present the detail of that. And we're going to finish off by showing you a video which is part of an online promotion which is currently underway in the Republic of Ireland, promoting this district to visitors from the Republic to let you see some of the work that we're doing. And we'll be leading to the presentation we'll get from one of our colleagues when we did at the next one about how we can work to partnership to promote this area both in Northern Ireland, the Republic, and beyond. So without any further ado, we're going to hand over this way.
John's kind of made about 5 or 6 of my slides redundant there, you know, so I'd be a little bit quicker than I would say. Sorry, no, I was just saying John has made about 5 or 6 of my slides redundant there, so I'll be a bit quicker than anticipated. But as John said, what we're really trying to do here is to build, I suppose, experiences that will have resonance in the international market, build or develop them. With this innovation screener research, or this market research, is based on a concept that was developed in the fast-moving consumable goods sector and has been used by Visit Britain and Fall to Ireland. And ultimately what we're trying to do is to look at how experiences benchmark against international competitors. So I suppose really what this involves is identifying a number of concepts. So they could be attractions, experiences, events, festivals, visitor attractions, or propositions such as the Wild Atlantic Way, city offers such as Dublin, Belfast, etc., and looking at how they benchmark against international competitors to look to see how we compete internationally. So ultimately what we will try and do is identify a long list of concepts that we will put through this international market testing. And ultimately what we want to do is to be able to plot these experiences on a matrix. So across the bottom really we're looking at asking people, would this drive your consideration to travel to Northern Ireland? So if we looked at something like your Mourne Gateway project or Titanic Belfast or the Wall City or whatever it may be, how does that benchmark against international competition? Would it be a leading star internationally? So is it something that would drive consideration to travel? And for those who it would drive consideration to travel for, would it be a main reason to travel? So ultimately up in your top right hand quadrant are those things that really, really compete against the best. In the left hand quadrant, it may be niche. So it might only drive consideration to travel for a smaller subsection of people, but for those people who it does, it may be their main reason to travel. So something along the lines of maybe Game of Thrones, while it may not be to everybody's taste, it may drive a small number of people and it might be a main reason for them to travel. So ultimately, I suppose the results of this would look at plotting the various different experiences against that chart. Importantly, again, we don't just test Northern Ireland products, because our objective is really to look at how we compete against other competitors in the international market. So we will also be testing against other concepts to give you that relativity. So I suppose without going into the hard wiring of this too much, ultimately we want to be able to plot things against that matrix, but we also want to use this research as a developmental tool going into the future. So in terms of looking at what it will tell us beneath the matrix is, does it drive motivation? Is it relevant? Does it have sufficient appeal? And is it exciting? Does it sufficiently differentiate us in the international marketplace? And does it differentiate us? Is it sufficiently unique and is it sufficiently surprising to drive that intention to consider? Another important part is how we're presenting this to the market. Is it clear and believable to the visitor? And also developmentally, you know, we're really looking for how we can actually market this in a better way. So there's a whole other aspect to this that will be informative into the future. It's also important when we're benchmarking internationally that markets are also different. The visitors across different markets are different in how they behave. So, for example, we have to standardise that, because, for example, the French are much less likely to say they will travel than the Germans. The Germans may say that they will travel for something, but they may not necessarily travel. Equally, if John goes on 5 holidays a year and I only go on 1, it's much more important if John says that he's going to go than if I say I'm going to go. So we have to do some level of standardisation across. So this is all done as part of the research methodology. And just to give you an example of how this looks in practice, this is an example recently conducted by Volta Ireland, and specifically here they tested 94 concepts in the international market, and they tested that across 20,000 consumers. Now that doesn't mean that every concept is put in front of the 20,000 consumers, because if you had to look at 94 concepts, you'd have an element of fatigue by the time you came to, you might be travelling anywhere for anything. But I suppose it's across 20,000 consumers, which is a very, very large sample, and the rating per concept, every concept got rated on that basis across 850. So one concept was in front of 850 people, so it gives you the level of scale in terms of that research. And it was tested across five markets. Now those 94 concepts weren't all ROI concepts. They tested a number of NI concepts, and they also tested a number of international concepts to give you that relativity. And ultimately they plotted it across this matrix, as I had explained earlier. Really what we're saying there is, you know, you'll have some star acts, you'll have some niche. There are some in the left-hand quadrant where if they are down in that quadrant, we would really be saying exercise some level of caution in relation to this, because actually the international markets are telling us that they don't resonate and they don't work in those markets vis-a-vis other competitors. Supporting acts are very important, because while they may not be the main reason to visit, they do drive, as John mentioned earlier, that extension of stay. So if you come for the main stars, the supporting acts are important because they drive consideration to travel. So what this looked like when Porter Ireland tested it, there is a matrix, and I suppose the breakdown of the concepts. We talk about concepts here because it's important to test all of the concepts to look at what actually does work competitively. Experiences were tested, so that would be the likes of the Wild Atlantic Way, things like Walk Scotland, things like Dublin, A Breath of Fresh Air, the City Offer, Ireland's Ancient East, so those types of, I suppose, experience propositions, products, activities, attractions, festivals, and then the wider blank circles are international benchmarks. So you can see there's a number of international benchmarks peppered across there. What did this research tell Folch Ireland, I suppose, is pretty important. As you'll see up in the right-hand corner, it tells us that people buy Ireland, so people buy the concept of Ireland. So Ireland ranks very, very well. It's up there in the top corner. What also ranked really, really well was the wider experience proposition. So things like the Great Ocean Road, the Wild Atlantic Way, things like Walk Scotland, City Offers, Amsterdam, Dublin, etc. They all worked really, really well up there. But interestingly also, some key attractions worked really, really well there as well. So in ROI, things like Skellig Vihal, Rocket Castle, Bruna Borne. And there were some activities or supporting activities that also, if they were large enough in scale, also worked very well as well. So things like whale watching, dolphins, basically marine coastal experiences worked and resonated very well in the international marketplace. Looking down below, just underneath that, supporting activities. So a lot of things around sort of your larger walks where they were well packaged. National parks, wild coastal walks, lake experience, islands, mountain walking, loop walks. So significantly, really what the message from the research was, if the visitor can visualise it, they know whether they like it or not. So we have to be very, very specific in terms of how we describe certain things. And then over on the left-hand side, then again, you have those things where there may be a need to caution if they are niche and they don't really drive consideration to travel. I'm not going to go into the detail of this, but I suppose in terms of these concepts, you know, one of the things that is also very, very important in terms of this is how you position and describe your experience. So things like the examples that Folch to learn from. A coastal walk is all well and good, but a Wild Atlantic Way coastal walk that is well described really resonates in a much better way. So the use of language in terms of how things are described and working with people's passion points is really important. So in terms of looking at this for the German market, for example, here, and just to draw out what the German market really found exciting was experiences that are challenging, that have provided a means to enjoy the landscape in a more engaging manner, especially near water. So I suppose that is, you know, one of the challenges here is how we can actually communicate these things in a way that inspires and motivates travel. And I suppose in terms of the summary, what does Culture Ireland learn from all of this? Well, you know, quite simply, so like I said, if you have a large castle on the coast, you're laughing to some extent. But I suppose, you know, there are distinctions by market, and I suppose that's extremely important. What's seldom is wonderful, so I suppose if you're travelling from somewhere and it is pretty unique, so for example, iconic historical sites really stood out as a motivation to travel for the US market. The French and British for the Wild Atlantic Way the most because it wasn't as different because they have their own strong offer there, but it really, really bought well for the Germans. The landscape is Ireland's beating heart, you know, so I suppose that's there's very much an emotional and romantic attachment to the Irish landscape, the natural beauty, etc., so that will always remain important. And the coast, and particularly maritime coastal experiences, had a very, very significant draw across all markets. And then fourthly, if you can't visualise it, you can't like it. And that's really, I suppose, in terms of being very, very clear about what the offer is and being very clear about the segments that you're targeting. So that has implications both for product development and marketing. I suppose the research piece, concept assessment, ultimately what we want to do with this, if we have limited funding, as we all do, you know, into the future, it's really about making sure that we go with the best bets here. So really, in terms of concept assessment, it's about plotting it relative to others and knowing how far in certain experiences we are against those benchmarks, those international benchmarks, those people that we know we are competing against. So it is a relative thing. So it doesn't mean that on that cross section that if you're, you know, in one place that means you're in or you're out, because it is a relative assessment. So basically anywhere you're plotted on that is how far you are from those international competitors or those real stars, and that's the key. So that is fundamentally the first piece. We're aiming to have that first piece of research done by August in terms of being able to plot. There will be much further subsequent analysis of that material, but that's really the first point. And we would see the Mourne Gateway as well as being part of that research. Just a little bit in terms of the process here, we will be writing to all of the councils to... We will be waiting to all...
I'm going
to
take the chair's attention.
Yes, we will be writing to all of the councils to get a list of concepts, and basically then to rank all of the concepts, and we have some examples. So I'm just going to leave one of them up there just for to show. I suppose this is how we would describe the concepts, and this is what would be put in front of the consumer, and really it's ultimately to get to that process where we can benchmark all of the projects against each other. Apologies, that took a little bit longer than anticipated.
Yeah, so essentially where we are is we are making a bid to government now for funding, including a bid for up to £100 million for travel funding for developing a new product. And clearly what we need to do is to make sure we're investing on the most things which are going to give the best return for tourism. And for the most part, we will be doing that collectively with local councils, because typically it's local council who will be the key investor in any of these attractions in their area. So for us, this is an important piece of work that we need to do in partnership, because it's about identifying those things which are really going to drive tourism growth and drive visitor numbers and visitor spend. And it's an opportunity for us to work with you to identify what really will work for this area, and perhaps equally importantly, what might not work, because the last thing we need to be doing is invest in a large sum of money in things which ultimately aren't going to deliver visitors, because that will mean they're not sustainable. And from a council point of view, it's not sustainable, it means that you're going to find yourself in a position where you're going to be subsidising these for years to come. So it's a critical piece of work. Our intention is to test it again with a very similar number of households. The key markets that we look at are the Republic of Ireland, which are critically important to us, Tourism Management by the Well, GB, France, Germany and the United States. So that's really what we're intending to do, and how we intend to work for you to do that.
Well, Rosemary, thanks very much for the presentation. And as you say, this is a critical piece of work, and I, for one, know the whole committee look forward to seeing our own experiences and practices updated on that metrics. And it will give us a lot of information about the form of precedent. Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie. I think we're going to be right. Three presentations. No doubt.
Charlie, do you want to just sit on your mic so that we're all
right? I've never heard the track of the butter and the toolpath mentioned once in any of it. Improving the tourism product. But I can see where the investment's going to go, John, for the whole city. And you're one of the main pickers of the top tip in your presentation there. The main problem is when we get off, the tourists get off the plane in Belfast, the turn right goes for Derry Falls and then they do, the Danish Broadway. If they get off the plane in Dublin, the turn right goes to the Ring of Derry and then do the custom war. I mean, there's nothing we don't have things to attract them, we have things to attract them, but we are always over on the top of Phoenix yet, we have always been over them. So it's doing nothing for me. I suppose it's up to us to try and put our tourism product in there. And see what we have to get, let people like you know what we have to offer. I tell you what the money's for. Thanks.
I'll take two or three in now.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Sharon. Thanks, John.
And always for the presentation. As we did, and then Charlie's been as well, one of the things I think I've said before, I don't think we do enough. The main international gateway into the island of Ireland is through Dublin Airport. There's nothing you can end up on that is really none of us is common area certainly, and yet nothing we make up even sort of narrow way from the airport to get to here and in the district. I don't think we can get enough of that. I've done a bit of work just in one day with trying to improve what the transit kind of that service that runs in the bus that runs every hour and try to do that. Traveling up from the airport into this area, and I don't think we do enough to market when people get up and then they get the information saying, you're an hour away from this area. We have an advantage that, west of our very successful tourism, but the time it takes you to get there from Dublin Airport, we have an advantage of the time to make it to that.
Thanks, Gary. Just the two speakers that spoke there on similar points, so if you want to just come back to them too, fortunately I'll take that in more than afterwards.
Well, the first thing I'd say is we've got Titanic up here because it is a world-class visitor attraction. It attracts 150,000 people a year. It's not just because of the market, it's because of the fact that it exists. It's got appeal in the international marketplace. And I think what we're suggesting here is that we need to get beyond Belfast, the Causeway and Derry. What we need to do is to create world-class visitor attractions elsewhere, and we need to be able to stand out, and we need to be able to differentiate ourselves. So, West, we will sit in this part of the world, and we say we have a beautiful coastline, and we've got mountains, and we've got forests, and we've got lakes. Every part of Ireland has got those. So, we need to do something which feels we'll give up some level of standout. And what we're seeking to do in all this is, and I agree with Professor Stokes, we need to be an access point to the island of Ireland is still there. So there is an opportunity, we believe, if we put the right attractions in place to encourage people to not necessarily simply go to Tynecastle and back to Dublin, or go to the Causeway and back to Dublin, but we get people to come and they stop in this area on the way up, that they stop in Belfast, they stop in the Causeway, they go to Derry, then potentially they go on the way or commit to Armagh, and come back. So we need to basically put a number of things in place which are going to allow us to stand out and give people an absolute reason to come, because we can't be, me too. We need to be sort of setting ourselves apart. And that's one of the reasons why the council have been looking at this attraction of the roads. How do we utilise the landscape that we've got and what is there and the history and the culture of the place, and how do we sort of showcase that in a way in which people will say, that's something that I absolutely want to see, or that's something that I absolutely want to do. So part of it is really working with the council to work through what we think are those things which will do that. And we have a bit of presentation set out anything in any part of Northern Ireland at this point to try to demonstrate what they are, because we don't know the answer to the question. We need to basically identify what we think those things are, and then we will go and test the marketplace, because it's not a matter of what we think, it's a matter of what the consumer thinks and the visitor thinks, because if it doesn't stand out and it isn't attractive to the visitor, no matter what we think or what we do, they will come. And we have other challenges which we, I would argue, have to address in order to get people to come to areas where they currently don't come. One of our biggest challenges at this point in time is, and we have tested this with all the major operators in the island of Ireland, you know, big challenge is no one is dead. Don't have hotels, don't have enough hotels, there's enough bedrooms that are basically going to meet the needs of the tour operators. So, in addition to doing this sort of work, we need to look at how are we going to encourage more people to invest in more rooms. And the right type of room, at the right price, is going to meet the needs of the international visitors and tour operators. So there's a lot of people work that we need to go alongside with in terms of, you know, developing and creating the infrastructure that will support the visitors when they come.
That's John. What
would
you want to add?
The only thing I would add to that is I know we have put up three examples there, including Titanic Belfast. The reason Titanic Belfast is specifically in there is because the three examples that are up there are three that Talk to Ireland tested. So they were pre-made concepts, so one element of laziness on my behalf and putting them in because they were already written. But also, I suppose, they are also plotted versus the international benchmark. So it does give us a view as to where even our leagues or our giant hoops, as John say, race internationally vis-a-vis others. So Titanic Belfast is currently rated against others there. But as John mentioned, we know that we have too few that are currently competing in the on the international stage at that level. We definitely know we need more, and to encourage that extension of stay, we need more, and we need more dispersal to allow us to do that. So we need more regional dispersion to promote that length of stay. And just to the second point, just in terms of Dublin Airport and I suppose making enough of the travel, hopefully the video that comes up next shows some of the tactical stuff that we're trying to do in terms of just, I suppose, promoting that message. One that we have learned both from our international research and the ROI research, that we need to make more of that short journey time and how short it is to travel around Northern Ireland.
Thanks, Rosemary. I just wanted to bring in before the line is done. Sure, just to say, John and Rosemary are highlighting, I suppose, the opportunity that exists for market research, and they've referenced the Gateway and Warrants project that the council has been working on and you would all be familiar with. And we also have been very actively working with businesses from right across the district in partnership with a lady called Kate Taylor, who did a lot of work down from Hull Shannon on the Wild Atlantic Way. And what we're doing is we're developing up experiences with the businesses from right across the entire district. And what we will be doing then is, I suppose, writing those up in a manner that they can actually use to test on the international market via the market research being done by Tourism NI. So it's very much about being inclusive to our district to see what it is that is worth us investing in and then moving forward to what we can do to attract more investors.
Thanks, Mike. The three more councillors are going to get to speak, so Daphne, Rex, and
Thanks, John. Thanks, Rosemary. It's certainly very interesting, but again, just to comment on the 100 million that developers in the desert, that for councils to develop, you know, identifiable products, you know, what we already know, we're doing this in item number 12, and doing the research and so forth yourselves, you know, what is going to work, is that the clarification, or is it just testing the market on it? It's just, that's what we want
to do. Essentially, we along with every other government department, we are making advocates for capital investment. One of the things we need to do in order to secure that money is to demonstrate that we have got, you know, projects which are worth investing in. So in order to support that, we need to go through this process of identifying what they might look like. So this really is about doing market research based on concepts that we want to develop along with councils and make one with yourself, so we say, okay, we tested this. This looks like this has got real potential in the market, therefore we believe that God needs to support us. Right. We may have dropped it 100 million, I would suggest probably not. But what we need to do is to make sure that whatever money we get, which will for the most part be match funding for projects that other parties will be taking forward, and probably transferred in the main, is about being able to demonstrate that by putting our money into that, working with the councils, we're going to deliver something that's going to add more value in terms of bringing visitors, getting to stay longer, getting to spend more, and ultimately creating jobs in those areas.
So what we're clarifying
that,
so what you're actually willing to do
will
be actually investing in
products, you know, ultimately our intention would be to use this to advise us as to where we should be investing our money.
Yeah. Yeah. Which will come in those areas?
Which
will come down to the length of our own area?
Well, provided we can demonstrate that there are projects worth providing. Yeah.
So right where the road comes in, that if you've got three castles on the coastline, you're fine.
That's what the research told Paul Sherrod, and we have a very strong economic state. But yeah, I was summarizing slightly there now, but
but that is encouraging to hear that. I think that many members at their onset when you see a photograph of the Giant's Causeway, the fact that there's potential here of several old Giant's Causeways form. But I do just again to ask that again, is this another, you know, with this divided out, you know, on top of the investment, and you can see the expensive areas that are on top of the pops, on top of the tourism leaks, you know, at the moment. And as ever, this is, I would hope it would be directed down to the likes of our areas and other parts of the country that currently, you know, haven't exploited, or haven't had the ability, or haven't been it. Tourism rather exploited to the last end, you know, which we would like to see some of that.
Ultimately it is market driven. So, you know, I suppose, you know, prior to this, what we would have done is for individual products or experiences that we would be testing, we would have done it on a case by case basis. This approach is really an efficient way of, you know, testing a range of products in the international marketplace and testing them vis-a-vis each other. So it's a significant investment in research, and we would be looking that it would guide our investment over the next 10 to 15 years.
I mean, one thing we'll not be doing is sort of saying we've got, say, the paper earlier, £99 million. We'll not be dividing up to the level in terms of £9 million for each council. Well, what we'll be doing is identifying those areas which have got the greatest potential. So, I mean, there will be parts of one land which, quite frankly, will not be that attractive to tourists, and there's no point in trying to make something which is not attractive to tourists attractive to them. There are things which will be attractive. If you look at that matrix that was put up there, and I suppose the research findings, landscape, coast, are critical things. I mean, I think they're less necessary given that we have got quite a dramatic landscape and a coastline that we can work with. So, I mean, I would be surprised if we couldn't find something that ultimately allows us to make this, you know, one of the more attractive regions. Within the strategy, we are suggesting that we set a very specific objective of regionality and driving tourism growth outside of the key growth areas at the moment. Because, I mean, the vast majority of spend currently occurs in Belfast and the Causeway. And what we're saying is everybody needs to benefit from this, and therefore we need to spread the benefit outside of these areas. So all the investment will not be connected to those areas which have been beneficiaries in the past. It's about trying to drive that spend and that tourism activity elsewhere beyond those two regions.
Exactly. Like, one more councillor has indicated to speak. If we can take two of them before the top table back in, and then we get John Wood to go back in the last two. And I'll stick to it. I also come on the committee and have committee members in the also have your opinion again. The next speaker is Mark McCann.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, John Rosemary, for the presentation. It's quite informative, though. I have to say, studies can be quite skeptical, really, at the end of the day, particularly when you're talking about concepts, which are, you know, as opposed to talking about things that have been over the moorings or the castles or the sea or whatever. And I say it's skeptical because we have slowly started out that, say, for example, there is no requirement for a hotel in the Warren Pine Trafford area, whereas over the past 30 years we lost 7 of them, and that one has been replaced, and yet, still, to make reference to, say, there was a study carried out which says there's no requirement for one there. And it's following on from what you said as well, John, is that I think a big part of this is for people to stay. And there is a major shortage, I think, of hotels in this part of the world. If, for example, a group of golfers, at one point, they couldn't book in. Or if, you know, if someone was looking to book a weekend, they can hardly do it now because there's a wedding on. You know, so there is a big, major issue there that I think is blocking people coming to this part of the world. But it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I think maybe it's the next stage in the process that we will see what exactly it is that you have to have something to sell rather than just the concepts, and that's my problem. It's a wee bit vague. I don't understand, maybe the professionals fully understand it, but from a layperson's point of view, it can be quite vague exactly what it is. We have a great product here. Right across this central district, and but we've got to be able to cater to the people that are coming in and make themselves probably. So maybe that's the next step in your campaign, but it's not going to seem like
it. So if I didn't watch before, I'll die, right?
My point of view was from John and from going on Michael's point. Our tourism industry is being serviced by the hospitality industry. And I don't think we have put proper investment into ensuring that the staff we employ within the hospitality industry are properly trained, qualified, and paid. Recently there was a bit of an interview on from Belfast, and that was their major complaint, that for people to go to work in this industry, the hours were not available and the salaries were not available. So unless we're prepared to marry those two things up in something, that we're getting the right people in to service our visitors, that, you know, we're starting off on the wrong foot. We'll always be on the back foot, you know, and people are coming in, and a place is only employing students who are just doing a part-time job to fill in a few hours. You need to look seriously at getting people properly trained and properly paid. Thank you.
John Rosemary coming back from the last few stages before going to the next thing.
Can I just pick up on the last, and maybe Rosemary can pick up on the previous question? The point, I think the issue in Belfast is that there are loads of unemployment in the city, and the hospitality sector is finding it extremely difficult to recruit. And there are a number of reasons that the Brexit isn't helping in the fact that, you know, the industry has typically been dependent upon migrant labour, and as a result of people feeling uncertain about their futures, you know, there's a significant number of people who have decided that, you know, maybe I should go somewhere where I have got greater certainty with what I've got. So finding some certainty for the people who work in that sector, I think, is important. Currently, the only reason that 20% of the people who work within the hospitality industry are foreign nationals. So having access to that continuous kind of labour is important. I think the second issue is, this is the challenge that doesn't line up or the department. It also lies in the industry itself. It's not the point of the economy or ourselves or the council who make the people who work within the industry. It's important that the industry recognise that it's got a challenge and it is competing for labour with other sectors of the economy. And if it's going to be able to attract the right people, it's going to have to address some of these issues. I think it's also important to recognise that, you know, students are important. And people who work part-time are important because quite often in cases this industry is almost sort of stretched across, you know, 12 months of the year. So it's not feasible to be employing people on a full-time basis. But there is a big opportunity. There are lots of people who are economically active people who are interested in part time employment, people who are interested in employment over the summer season, and then we've got most of our visitors here. So it's a matter of, I think, working collectively with the industry to identify the issues and address them. And one of the things that we've been trying to encourage the department to do is to set up a joint working group, which involves various parts of government and the industry to identify the challenges and find solutions to those challenges. So I think the points that you make are absolutely valid. But there are other issues that need to be addressed and can't simply by ourselves or on the council. It's a matter of how you work that through that correctly and do that with the industry itself.
Well, I agree that students are very important.
Keep it brief. I don't want to go back in.
Students are very important, but it's the fact that salaries and all are so low, and it's when people are given a certain amount of expertise and skill, they're not being retained within the industry.
Rosemary, do you want to touch on the question
from Michael? Yeah, and it was just the distinction there between, I suppose, the concepts that we're testing and then the sort of, I suppose, the key enablers, the accommodation, etc. I suppose what this piece of research is really doing is to try and sort of like see, well, what are those world-class experiences that really work for us in the international marketplace? And one of the big challenges that we do know is that we need to look at how our product can be noticed from far away in the international market. And I think what this is really trying to identify is what will drive consideration to travel. Another important part of our strategy then is to look at, and what are the enablers then that we need to have in place, you know, to support those experiences. And one of the big things there is definitely accommodation, and we know we need to do a piece of work around, you know, if we have the experiences that will drive travel, what is the supporting stuff that we need around that? So there are definitely things that we know, even in terms of the product that we have at the moment, in terms of, you know, right across the causeway, we know that accommodation is a key issue in terms of extending, you know, the stay. We know that it is a problem right across Northern Ireland. We know it's a problem in this area. So really, that is an important part of the strategy as well, to look at the enablers, because to a certain extent, once you put the hoop there for the international visitor to travel, they're then looking at, and how do I book that all as one package? So I take your point, that piece of work is also important.
I think it's also worth at this point, when we talk about concept, that's really not a particularly good word. I mean, we will, you know, what we need to do is think about those things, and we need to describe what they are. So, for example, we're saying in the norms, could you test, say you have a boardwalk around 22 miles of boardwalk, you know, and you basically said, you ask those people the question, if you had access by, you know, any sort of gondola or whatever, the one wall, and you could walk 22 miles around a wall over 7 mountain peaks with fantastic scenery and all of that, is that something you would be interested in? So we're not thinking about, you know, things which are esoteric. I mean, what we would want to do is put down real sort of proposals that we would want to test in the marketplace. I'm not saying that's one, I'm just throwing it out as an example of one of the things you can test. Because I think one of the things we haven't secured in our minds yet is, if we were going to do something, thinking of words, what exactly might that mean? So we can assume the ideas as to what that might look like, and we can test each of those, and then decide to go with the best one.
Thanks, John. Well,
thanks for the presentation. And I think you sort of touched on what I was supposed to do, John, especially getting that sort of economic sort of proposal, and what it works in the visitor. And as you said, it's looking into the visitor's eyes. You know, in the past, there are too many economic development strategies, tourism strategies, over the years, you know. And I think we're continually, but to this one, I think our tourism strategy at the minute was a refreshing approach. And looking at the concepts and the designs, so we have to offer, you know, we have bought a wonderful visit, you know, the Christian Heritage. This legends, the tempting to the coastlines and mountains. We have it all, but as you said, a lot of Europe has a lot of these things also, and that's what you're actually competing with. You're competing with Europe when people are booking the holidays. You're also really competing with South Ireland, Wales, Scotland, England. A lot of them with the same type of experience, and in some cases, maybe a lot more history, you know, and a lot more maybe to provide or an offering. So I think it's if we look at the access project in the moors, I think that's a good concept because everybody recognises the brand even of the moors, and we've had a number of studies looking at that. The market research does tend to suggest that, you know, it is a catch for the moors. But I suppose the point would be in regards to the concept, how do we look at clustering them concepts? Are we looking at nice and strong for not looking at that type of experience holistically, looking at, you know, the food tourism, the water sports tourism, the historic, the Vikings, and all that types of experiences we have, and then clustering it also with nice and fishing heritage. Because you're able to different markets, you know, continually, but then, you know, you're high energetic visitors and people who's in the more relaxed type of tours, you know, so and people who would be in the adventure, you know, so the people looking for different things. So just maybe a wee bit of an outline, maybe, you know, how we trust to that. A lot of work has been carried out, so it should be easy enough to test them concepts moving forward. And even like the geopark, the thoughts on the geopark moving forward. I think that could be a huge problem for us also. It's not as soon as
expected. Yeah, I think you have a name.
John,
you're in the hip-hop. Yeah.
John Roman, good presentation. We've covered a lot. It was good to see the Titanic Centre doing well because it's nice to people coming to Northern Ireland and selling a few pounds. It was a pity we couldn't spend off of that in the Red Patrick area. I think we'll have some Patrick there. Last year, in the biggest vendor of being in Santiago, and then the walk was in jail. And the amount of people are actually doing that from Santiago to the world's end. It was unreal. And I think if we had some Patrick rate packaged in the rate market, I think it could become the very seal. It's one of the biggest tourist attractions in Croatia, and they're coming from everywhere all over the world to do it. And I think we can actually piggyback to that. They've done Patrick's really an hour away from Belfast. And busy time, half an hour, but you get a good old traffic. Sure, and I would agree with all what Wes said there. They covered a lot, as I was going to say, but I think it's not always the show.
Thanks, sir. John, before you go back, one more time, sorry.
Yeah, sure. Pretty much what he covered a lot, but I was going to say, just on that, just to start with, Maria took us in particular, Rude, and a lot of things that she has. Do you think that she identified the right types of stuff? I know there's the Gondola thing in Newcastle. Would we need to talk to that? I know the Mourns is the big one. You know, it's the big research item that showed up, and that's what our attraction is. But on a major attraction, have we identified anything, or have you identified something in our area that would be other than the Mourn Mountains? Would that be the big one in the world in the mountains?
Well, I'll let Rosalie pick up on the point that Councillor Clark made, because I think we sort of hit the nail on the head about what we need to do and how we need to practice stuff. With regard to Titanic, the important thing with Titanic is it does drive 750,000 people into this area, and the call they bring in many people. What we need to do is make sure we utilize those assets in order to say, okay, that's the reason why people come. What else can we give them to make them stay longer? So, you know, that could be a single big thing that might exist. I'm not sure what that is, but more likely to be how we cluster and package things, you know, in a particular area. You know, the St. Patrick thing, we can certainly test. I mean, I was in Mayo a fortnight ago, when the council approached me about we have had a list and working with them to look at Camino between Kilpatrick and Kilpatrick, and certainly that's something under this process here we can test. You know, we can describe that, we can send it out, we can ask people who may be interested in that, and we get an answer to that question if it comes up. You know, not top right hand corner, you have to ask the question, well, why would you not do that?
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's an opportunity around that. But Rosemary and her team are doing a lot of work around how we cluster some of the things, you know, both in this area and around. We're now working with Lee and with
was on here, so you want to just pick up on that.
Yeah, and just to the first question is you know, is this about developing, you know, concepts on what they might be? And I think absolutely it is, because when we looked at that matrix, just for example, the first one, what we saw that worked really, really well was when you package smaller products together. We know that the challenge that we have is, you know, making things, all of the small things that we have, large enough to be noticed from far away. So it is those things like how we can develop something into a packaged experience that someone could buy. So one of those things could be food. So how do we actually make a food experience that somebody can imagine spending 3 or 4 days within the area, whether it's around Frankfurt Lock or whatever. One of the opportunities, certainly I do think that the Mourns, absolutely, you know, that there is potential there, but there is potential right across the board. We know for a fact that there are themes that work well in the market. So some of the themes that we are looking at, Saints and Scholars, so St. Patrick coming under that. Other things like even houses and gardens, we know that there is a market for that, but it's how you package that up. So I think in terms of doing this research, we're not just landing individual attractions, individual festivals in here. We also want to work with yourselves in the various different areas to look and sort of like see, are there propositions within the council areas themselves, but are there propositions that are cross-council as well, you know, in terms of linking and making some of those experiences bigger and better. So there will be themes that work right across Northern Ireland, Saints and Scholars, but food, you know, will work at things like houses and gardens as well, so that if we can put those propositions together in a sensible way, it's really about making them large enough to be noticed from far away. But also, you know, as John says, there are multiple different ways in how we could position even the products that we have, the Mourns. Look, do you just describe something which is an activity? And if you go back to, you know, one of the original slides I had, we talked about experiences, we talked about activities, we talked about festivals. There's multiple different ways that we can slice and dice that. But one of the things that we will have to look at when we're testing is that we test enough across those various different categories, so we're not just doing attractions, but that we also look at short walks, longer walks, and look at how we can package products together in a better way. So I suppose there's a huge amount of work involved now in getting a long list together that we can all look at and sort of like say, are we testing enough right across Northern Ireland? So while it might not be specifically tested for this council area, that there's something similar, so that that idea comes up again, we can sort of like say, well, actually, when we looked at that for Derry, for example, it didn't test well or it did test well. So I think we want to make sure, you know, not only that we get enough for one area, but that we get enough that we can test that will inform development into the future.
There's
some question is, how we as a council chosen what was that in the new?
The three things that we know, which we can sell, our landscape, our heritage, and our culture. And I think that's the three things that the council put us on. So, you know, I don't think we've missed anything about the question. I think anything that is going to be sold in the national marketplace has been identified and captured in the strategy.
Janet?
Sorry.
It's very good. John, you can mention to yourself accommodation. And you and I know as well, because you and I have worked on this for 7 years ago.
Thank you.
And the area, I'm
going to
take 3 seconds before
I talk to
the back end, so
David. Hi, Chair. The presentation very interesting. Just one thing, I know I said that about Councillor, but we do have two areas that we're talking about today. Not only the boards, but also the city volume, I think. We have to take that on board as well. It's important. I mean, if you go to the city volume area, there's enough hundreds and not thousands of cars, many of them come from the south. Because they want to enjoy the facilities there. I think there are more cars because progress that area. But just I think so far it shouldn't be overlooked.
Thank you for having me in there, Chair, and going to all the hunters. Thank you again for the presentation. I've made two pages of notes, so I'm going to try and our moorings and our natural resources as a product of which to sell, I think we're very careful about how to do that. One thing I suppose really is that I think that, again, and this is as much to our own directors and authors, is we need a world class infrastructure for our own citizens, if you will, which will then feed off into our visiting world citizens, if that makes sense. So I think that is a key point. As well as that, I also think that there are numerous products which we have going on from an adventure tourism point of view, which are sometimes flying under the radar of council. And again, how do we coalesce, how do we audit, how do we give support to stuff that's already going on that can be, they don't mind packaging those up to be sold. There is already a real infrastructure there. But the moorings, the same thing is attracting people to the moorings, the same thing that attracts people now, the same thing that attracted people 50, 60, 70 years ago. And if it wasn't for those pioneers of the outdoors, we possibly wouldn't have the outdoor industry that we have now. So I think that has to do that. Just again, and again, it can have sort of try question that as well, like infrastructure of things that we don't actually care about, the tool paths and stuff like that. I noticed up on the quadrant there that Adventure Scotland was a benchmark. And it was really high. What lessons can we learn from Adventure Scotland being a benchmark in the star quadrant that we can bring across to over here? Obviously, it was slightly different topography to the Scottish Highlands, but in some ways, we can also bend that too. And I suppose just the final point about gondolas and boardwalks, especially the boardwalks. The boardwalks in Fermanagh have proved particularly environmentally bad. So no doubt that the issue of the mooring wall walks through the hills is 100%, but boardwalks in the mountains wouldn't be a particularly sold idea amongst certain quarters. Thank you.
We're back in the last two chances, and hopefully we can get the videos there.
Okay, I'll pick up with the accommodation talk. I mean, at this point in time, we are not the body responsible for accommodation, not in depth with the FMI. So, yeah, I think there's an issue for us in terms of how we work more closely with them and with local authorities to deal with that particular issue. But I think what we can do is utilize the resources that we have, the data that we have, information that we've got, to build the case that we can share to potential investors and encourage them to invest in the town and demonstrate that that is a viable business proposition for them. In some ways, this is a sort of catch-22 because you can't get the visitors to have a hotel, convince them that you get somebody to invest in a hotel when you have all the visitors. So, to some extent, you need somebody to take that. And we create, and what we need to do is somebody trying to really ask them to invest grants for their right. They're about mitigating the risk to the investor, which is just simply putting a funding down. So we are talking to developers in this area about potential that may exist. And in terms of just the last point was being around boardwalks. One of the principles of our strategy, we will have a series of underpinning sustainability principles within our strategy, and one of those will be protecting the environment. And in some ways, having nice walkways through mountains is a means by which you can protect the environment, providing they're well managed. So, discouraging people from just going randomly into that sort of environment and managing the way that they actually do that. Rosemary will pick up on the activity stuff, because I think I'd agree. this is about experience of the world. We want to do things as well, we want to see things about packaging together, the things you can do, the place you can stay, where you can eat, what you can see. And I think you will see from the video we want to present to you how we've gone about trying to package this particular area in that way to sell specifically at this point in the Republic of Ireland. Do you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, just in terms of the whole outdoor capital and what we can learn from the likes of, you know, Adventure Scotland, etc., that were included in the research. I mean, that research was conducted by Faulty Ireland. The stage that they have got to at the moment is just that ranking piece. They are currently in the process now of going through and looking at the learnings from the individual pieces. But what we do know that came out very, very strongly in terms of the Adventure Scotland stuff is the real clarity about what was on offer there. So it was really basically, you know, describing the range of package or the package offers, etc. And I think that that's something that we know already from the limited research that we have done is that, you know, we don't describe well enough to the international visitor how they can engage with our landscape. So it's really about bringing the landscape to life. And we are looking at developing an activity strategy or an activity framework around that. We've done something on the culture and heritage, which has just been recently launched. And now we're looking at how we can do an activity framework that really, really helps those individual businesses to come together to bring, I suppose, the landscape to our visitors. So I think there's a lot of learnings from the likes of Adventure Scotland. We can see that what they do ranks really, really well and is very clear with the international visitors. So I think there's a lot of learning, but we haven't gone through that yet because Faulty haven't actually gone to the next stage of research on that.
Thanks very much, Rosemary. And if you can go ahead with the video, I think it is. Fingers crossed.
So our spring campaign just launched today, and this is a piece of social content that we have done in partnership with the Irish Independent. It's focused on the open-minded explorer segment, which is a new segment we're targeting in the Republic of Ireland, and it has had significant views across the Independent various channels.
I'm going to go to the next one.
That's sort of the deal that we saw that was in the Muslim partnership in the Irish Independent newspaper, talking about the entire leadership in the site. So very last week, almost a quarter million people in the number of weeks that it's at the site. This really our first concept that there's other parts of the region that are perhaps not captured in that, but this is something we will develop in our town. So when Naomi comes to meet with you next month, we have lots of content and we can work directly with the council in order to position some of this stuff and develop it in a way which will allow you to work with us to promote the area and do it in a cost effective way. So it means that you get use of that material, you don't have to start trying to produce that yourselves. And we have got various sort of outlets working with the Irish Independent through our email channels or our social media channels. So we're quite happy to work with you to make sure that you get the best bang for your buck and we get the best bang for ours for doing the same thing. So that's just a taster for where we're trying to get to. How we work with the council and work in the district and how we can go forward.
Sure, if I could just come in and just reinforce what John said. Naomi went from the marketing director in Tourism NIS on the Lions Committee in March, and really that's the start of a journey for us as a district working in partnership with Tourism NIS on marketing and specific campaigns and targets in the ROI market to see if we can increase the support from the ROI market into our area specifically. So what you've really got is a good test for that, and we will be looking to produce much more and get that out on social media.
Thanks very much, Wayne. Rosie?
No, nothing further to add to that.
Thanks very much. Rosemary, John, thanks very much for the presentation and for the really long 40-minute answer question and answer session. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Linda.
So moving on, as I said at the start, to item 12, which follows on from this presentation, Tourism Partnership Development.
Is my card out
yes, Chair. This is set out in the presentation there. The proposal is to go ahead with research and partnership with Tourism and then test the international market demand for new products and concepts. And I suppose it was all outlined in the presentation there, Chair. But just to note that the Monash Gateway project would be a significant area of this particular study.
What would you like, Sandy?
Gary proposed.
That's it.
Sorry.
No protocol.
And basically close their eyes until they get the castle down or close their eyes until they get the key. How does that sell our council? Well, here's we sell ourselves as one council, a one council area, and that just leaves out a huge area of our council in that one video.
Yeah, and sure, that's something we ourselves have noted as well, and that's why we're doing the work that we do with Tourism NI and Naomi, and we'll be coming along with this event. We've been preparing videos ourselves and footage ourselves, which includes the entire area, because we recognise the strengths of the area from every cost to distance. So hopefully you'll see a different spin on things that will be going out to the market and moving forward from March.
Andy. So sorry, just again, didn't show me the word shared as well. That Tadlong Castle isn't actually open to the public as well, so I'm not sure why that one was on the for following on the end of this one. Do you check all of the video?
Well,
you're
not going
to talk.
Yeah, we've got a proposal, we've got time for it, haven't we? Well, yeah. Okay, moving back to item 5, the city of the Egyptians.
Yes, Chairman. I suppose following on really from when we agreed to participate in the City Deed, we what we outlined was there was a number of team strategies which we needed to develop straight forward for the day. And we had agreed the skill strategy which is underway and begun. We're doing some work on industrial strategy and the economic strategy. And the next strategic document, which is critically important and I imagine very, very important for ourselves from as a rural area, is the digital strategy. Belfast City Council have commissioned City Catapult to actually develop a digital strategy for the area. This is about looking at the needs of broadband. It's to put forward a proposition which would involve the private sector and Treasury ourselves and central government to actually look at investment in digital infrastructure within the region, both to support our businesses and our population within the district. So again, the contribution for is £19,000 in the own council, which is based on estimated county product, which is not proportional to that, but trying to make a share of the cost in this. So all six councils have contributed to it, and our proportion is £19,000. So just get agreement on that, Cheryl.
Thanks. Just before I take in the speakers, maybe if we can get clarification that some of the previous studies that were done, and I know those numbers the council went to the alleviator with Langford, for heat map study on broadband, and that then fed on a previous study. So that if the six councils are being in this digital infrastructure, that we're using the information that's out there, and that will be good again.
Yeah, we're using existing, absolutely, we're using existing information. But this is more just like, not just pure and broadband, this is a bit of broad digital strategy of how we develop digital technology across the region.
Thanks, and Gary?
Yeah, I think.
Before we go ahead, Sharon, I think you've agreed with
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I second the proposal. We were at the city meeting today, the forum, a number of us touched upon this and about the opportunities that would exist in regard to digital technology, looking at the developing the skills base. Also, you have digital infrastructure, but you need to scale up your workforce also, and also entrepreneurs, giving them opportunities, you know, clustering buildings nearby high-speed broadband. So a number of good points were made today, and hopefully the digital strategy will roll that out for us right across the region. So. Great job as well. And when we talk about broadband, just for local people in the city, it's essential, particularly in rural area, and we do have high speed, good quality broadband, because that impacts rural jobs as well as people available to access the internet. You know, so I'm very supportive of this approach.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, just to but I just get some detailed information about it, and just ask, he did address the concept about, you know, supplying network computer and storage functions. And that made that an interesting way of we're getting what I think we're getting, or I think we're actually getting, it's cutting edge. It's cutting edge technology coming in. And you know, with the server pools, for example, and virtually server pools is one of the things that's in cloud service software defined networking and all, and then network function virtualization. Because that's all this disaster infrastructure that actually reaches right out into the value software that is everywhere. So, I'm wondering is that what we're getting? And what is the fact that we're going to do that? Are there going to be, for example, these data centers and storage centers here in our area? Or is that going to be one by sort of Belfast? Because that's the more key to it, because a lot of the new the supply of all that, if that comes in here, I mean, it will be a major impact on the indigenous community here.
Again, I think the 2-0 there, Tom, pretty, this is a piece of work to actually put together a proposition which looks at really digital skills, so it picks up the issues in terms of connectivity. But again, with the rural area, to back to what's the purpose of the Rural Society Development Strategy? The purpose of the idea is to have, first of all, infrastructure which gives people more high quality, high value jobs. It's about bringing together a more skilled and up levels of employment, a better job with higher salaries and wages. And the third thing is about innovation. really, does that have to be? So whatever you do in terms of infrastructure, whether you're doing skills, whether you're doing and innovation, has to be underpinned with the top spec in terms of what your digital strategy is going to be. That's what this is about. Data centers are brilliant for in terms of delivery rates. They don't provide any jobs because basically you're one big computer box. And the other thing is, do data centers need the level of the amount of cooling and the amount of electricity is required? So you need to have the electricity supplied. So again, whether we have data centers or not, it's something falling down the line. This is about getting a piece of work, saying what is the infrastructure we need to do. We have a number of private sector bodies who are coming forward as part of the CDs. But the CD is working with central government, i.e. Treasury and DCIG in the UK, are looking actually there. The private sector, the universities and colleges, and ourselves working together. So again, the digital infrastructure is going to be important for that there, and that's what this project does, and highlight what exactly needs to be invested in. So whenever we start procuring this with the private sector, we know we're developing a different digital infrastructure fits the future.
Thanks, Ed. Brian?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to re-emphasize, going back nearly a decade, our council have been contributing to pieces of research around broadband, the knock spot for particularly in rural areas, are really big mentioned. And so far, it has made absolutely no difference to those rural areas. So I think this time we would like to sort of know that we are going to actually achieve something by this, that some of these rural knock spots are going to get some kind of a service.
Just a question for you. Do you actually think there will be some delivery on the ground that will see a difference?
Well, the proposition we, you know, set out this morning in terms of the CD for members that attended, again, no every member wasn't able to go to it or wasn't invited to it. But the members that will be there, I know that we're here, it was set out in Tyneside. Basically, we put the proposition together by the end of April. By November time, we've got to be in the first position to put a deal to DCLG and to Treasury in terms of the level of infrastructure we want to do. And then we have a 10-year program to deliver on the ground and roll out of it. So, you know, I can't tell you when it is. That's the strategy we'll do in terms of what we can do, how fast we can do it, how we can deliver. We're not a technology organization, technology company. You have, I'm not going to mention names, but people know what the big technology companies are. They're the ones who will actually deliver fiber connectivity on the ground. And it's them that will actually want to partner. We want to partner with them, but also with the universities, both in terms of innovation, to actually make that happen.
Chair, I would very much welcome this, sir. I know there that in the budget this year there's going to be $410 million that is £1 billion of GDP supply, so hopefully there's a lot of
I think just on that point, and Brian, just to reiterate the point, Brian, about the previous studies, and I think we had answered at the start, that even the study with the NDP, we know down to the T where the areas that don't have connectivity or do have connectivity. We have it in postcode and now we have it by a heat map. So I suppose we've got assurance that that will be fed into this strategy. And as Glenn says, when the money comes available, that we can act on that because we've got all the information there. So the previous studies won't be leaving this. Yeah, thanks very much. We've got a proposal on time, but we've got Gary and Okay, moving on to item number 6, business scope mentoring program. Marie, can I take it in?
Yes, so this is a bid that we've made to Invest AI, and we've just received the letter of offer. The detail of the program is there. I suppose the ambition is that we will engage the 800 supporting businesses and create 470 new employment positions over the next 5 years. We have some detail to work through on the letter of offer, but we're asking that the committee accept the terms and conditions and subject just to confirm the few details.
Gary?
Yeah, actually, through your center, who's actually going to deliver this program? Are you directly or?
It's something that says within the terms and conditions of the grant, just in under paragraph 2 on the key issue. The delivery contract would have to be procured through the CPD framework, so we will put that out to procurement through the CPD framework.
I'm happy to propose, sir. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, I can
sir. And you know, would you criticise investing in anything for not putting money in, but it's close to 400,000 there on one particular program, which is very much.
You second that, Declan? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to item number 7, the Castle Island Forest Park report. Yeah, Mark.
Sure, and this is the Castle Island Forest Park, and we're asking the committee's permission to submit an application or an expression of interest under the Deer River Rural Tourism Scheme. It's a scheme which we have successful expression of interest for Slieve Gullion, and what we're looking to do is work with DEERA in relation to specifically the arboretum in Castle Island Forest Park. So we can submit an expression of interest then, and then we would work through the detail of the project. It also fits with the Heritage Lottery Fund application that we're working on.
Proposed then. Moving on to item 8, Neary Lower Hill Street Public Land.
Sure, you will remember that we brought the community committee proposals for the development of public land schemes across the district. What we're asking is permission now to go ahead and appoint consultants to work with us and working up the Neary Lower Hill Street public land scheme in anticipation that maybe we might get money somewhere down the line to actually do the work.
As we've done so far with the previous two things, that we surely will finish it off from this one program. I just wonder, is there any idea of dates where it might start and finish? Because inevitably there's always a lot of ongoing sort of work on the streets, because certainly there's disruption to businesses and to shoppers and people visiting this around, so we'll have to take that into account. So we'll have to get the scheme and then we'll need to push ahead and do it. So I would propose that we take up
the call council during the form of reading by again with Jared. Happy to say it, Sharon, and I do think we're need to keep in the matter in the health streets always think of itself the correlation in terms of some of the schemes over the years and the streets get because it does need done. I think some of those paving stones are dropping, so it's like these all the things when you're on the end of the street. We need to keep the local traders people in that area involved with what we're doing. Thanks, Gary. Charlie?
Yeah, thanks, Gary. I'll just agree with Gary there. That area is rusty and dirty as well. It seems to be the correlation. It's good to see that the work's going to be done. If we go back just to the little part of history, and then where Wilbur should be, there's a plaque there at one stage that disappeared and has never returned. It commemorated the death of three boys who were shot dead by the British Army. On the round, I'd say three. The word banter and why the federal being
resist. Sure, I couldn't comment on the fact, so I'll certainly ask a question. In relation to this stage is really, I suppose, the initial stage of planning for the consultancy team to do the design. This will be subject to funding coming from the Department for Communities, which is how we've always worked in partnership to deliver environmental improvement schemes. So unfortunately I couldn't give you even an idea of when that might start, but we'll be actively working, I suppose, to get it all ready that its money becomes available to make it.
Yeah, nice. We've got a proposal side. Are you happy to move on? Okay, item 9, the low powered wide area network report.
This is in relation to work that we have been doing with the University of Ulster, whatever they're calling themselves now, and it's in relation to RP1. We are seeking the committee's approval to proceed with the installations of gateways and strategic locations which have been identified by the University of Ulster. They do cross the district and the would be used as both to look at how we develop innovative and technological advances for businesses.
That's great. Exactly.
Yeah, and the proposal, but just to give an example of what it is, our own area did this site, particularly the stations for council, and where we covered in, we put a new castle on one plane. And just wonder exactly what happened. I mean, is it a kind of a semi wireless broadband kind of innovation? What is it?
Sure, I'm not very technical on this, but basically it's a low power wide area network, and it relates to, I suppose, the installation of a, I'm going to describe it as a box. I'm probably the best to get Michael Forster, who is our very technical officer, on this to give you contact you regarding the detail. But basically what it is, it's a device that, I suppose, allows the Internet of Things, I'm told, to sort of do research across the entire area that it's servicing. It works on a very small data pack, and there's lots of sensors and a battery that apparently lasts for a very long time. It's a very advanced form of technology, which would be excellent to have within our area. We are partnering with the likes of Beacon Tourism, NI, and other businesses and other departments to see how we can use these to gather data and information to research in the area as well.
Say all of it now, that's a property that isn't required.
I think it might be a good idea if it could be circulated, just to explain how it is working and where the locations to be selected are going to be and what would be mounted there. This is maybe the conclusion of all other reports that have gone through on a very similar theme. I think in many more of them engaged in them for about 15 years. Some of them were abandoned, some started. I know the Wi-Fi around one bank was being through, certainly it's not available most of the time. So I think maybe if a secretary of the committee would be very useful.
Sure, I'll arrange for Michael to send information
out
to the committee that hopefully you can understand.
Okay, can we get a factor? The proposals?
It does mention that Turnfield may be an option. I'd rather see that word a wee bit stronger than may be an option.
Maybe that's an option.
No, but Brian.
Moving on,
item number 10, which is the Innovation Conference.
Yeah, sure. We are very keen to host an Innovation Conference in Newry City. I suppose really based on the businesses that exist in Newry City, we take the critical evidence that our new technology that supports the MGM Group in Norbert. So we would like to host a conference in September time. We have had some engagement externally, and we would be looking to get private sector funding to assist in this. I have been in the budget a resource for around £30,000. A conference of this nature could cost anywhere in the region of up to £100,000 to run, but that would be done with private sponsorship. If we're going to hold an innovation conference, we need to make sure that we have all the technology available to make it work. We have indications that we will be able to get support from the private sector, and we wouldn't proceed to organise anything without a guarantee of the private sector support. But it's a huge opportunity to really show your Morning Down District in a very positive light. We'd be very keen as well to include the education sector. Just in Friday past, we hosted our first skills forum, and the education sector was very keen to become engaged within the innovation world and to get pupils and parents to dig along to see the opportunities that exist there.
Thanks.
I think the next idea was the mention of recognition of the tremendous progress that various firms have been working with on the area. Good point of view that they're all especially in Nokia, so I welcome home heartily the whole process.
Thank
you, Gary. Yeah, I agree with David. I think it would be great. I mean, obviously, we're thinking of international speakers and the national
from us, but that we do showcase the, you know, our own very, very successful businesses that are headquartered in this area, and we get to be able to have all of those as well, and you know, draw on our experience to
Okay, we're moving on to item 11, the NI Agribusiness Conference, and it's for members of this committee to attend the conference. I believe it's in Armagh, isn't it? And we have Harry Harvey, the Council Harvey has registered his interest in going to the conference.
I'd just like to say, I mean, it looks a very interesting conference, some very key topics on interesting speakers. Yeah, certainly.
Thank you, Chair. There's something at the conference then, and a lot of the information, and there's a number of NLA speakers and that. What, why is it so expensive?
Well, I'm not saying, but on the level of the conference,
you know, you have a lot of people coming from the department and from the 10 years and that to speak to them, and normally a lot of the money would go for speakers and that cost a lot of money, but to be honest, it's very expensive for
The conference has been organised by the NNI, so I don't know the details of why the delegacy is £195 on that. It is being hosted in the Armagh Bamburgh Garden area, so what would be the main cost other than the actual conference
Robert, I was trying to figure out the union charges, so I was trying to figure out who and where this is all going. Is it just go back to the department? I mean, there's some things that you think that's what they're working on. Can I get a second for that? Item 12 is tourism. Sorry, we were to get that. Item 13 is the cruise, and then it's a flower trade show, and this is
how we don't have a bungee cruise.
The paper outlines recommendations to send a member staff to 3 major cruise trade shows to support opportunities to bring more cruise ships into one point harbour. The council tourism strategy has identified the pocket cruise market as a major growth opportunity, and so these three trade shows are attended by all the major cruise buyers globally. So the recommendation is to ensure that we are represented at the shows and we're able to sell the one point as a tourism destination in the region, as a tourism destination for these cruise operators.
Thanks, Andy.
They attended the Fort Lauderdale cruise. This is something that requires relations, which takes time, and it's something that we review on an annual basis as to the and benefits that are derived from that. Four Point Harbour are very keen, and they're arranging for their harbour master to attend the shows, and I think it would be beneficial to have somebody. We've got expressions of interest from other destination staff, so it would be a better information staff member that would actually know how to actually sell the area and its holistic.
I'm not criticising the notion, but just I wonder, was that there's a lot of cruise market, are they very strong on those individuals?
There's certain types of and sizes of ships that's going to come into different harbours, and the pocket cruise industries is the one for one point that in terms of the draft of the ship, the size of the ship. The harbour authority is very active in terms of going out and I suppose prospecting for this business. What we need to do is support this vote in terms of selling the destination, selling this district to potential cruise operators that want to bring tourists to the district. It's a growth opportunity. The likes of Derry Harbour would be out of these shows down Derry, for example. It's a different size of this pocket cruise sector is the one that we're going towards.
I do believe that there's great potential. I think there's been a certain amount of success in the radio. Relatively speaking, it's small money. I was surprised one time I heard a figure for the number of cruise ships that went to Killybanks and Nantgal. When you think of the size of that and how it can cater for cruises coming in. It's a massive market, and we look at the number of ships that come into Belfast, they are really cream of the girls. So, but I'd like to see some return, maybe like Declan saying that we could get some way of boosting it a wee bit, it would certainly help. But the cruises that have come in have been very successful, and the whole business could be growing around that, taking them away for the day, or feeding them in the time, and so on.
Item 14, production services. Andy?
Yes, Chair, the Hibbard Mains requirement to go to Centre for Production Services for tourism events this summer. The production services company is required in order to scope up our events for this year and start planning the delivery of these events in a timely way. So the paper outlines the requirements and sort of the timetable of how we see this term of exercise taking place.
Thanks, Andy. Proposed in the second one? Yes. Exactly. Everybody happy enough? And just for clarification, this is the way we had run the event last year. We think every production company work hand in hand with the council events.
That's correct, yeah. This would be the same process that we followed in previous years.
Okay, I've got a proposal on the second one. So, moving on to item 15, and this item is. Alright,
I'll come back in 15 because it's exempt. We go down to item 16, 17 and 18 from Elton. We've got three items here, the Down County Museum lease funding, information attached, we have the state scheme of delegation and the action card updated sheet. Can I get a proposal on the second one?
Proposed.
And that's the second one, Chair, and also kind of additional on the upper floor there. It's actually news to see that once we get in the museum, has managed to get that money, and that's funded. Our museum outside Belfast is the number one museum in Northern Ireland, without a doubt. And it just goes from strength to strength. Mm-hmm. Good credit to everybody who's got involved in that and helped to get a piece of work one put together. Excellent piece of work. And I hope that it will continue to develop and grow our museum then happen. And then maybe we'll find out a tourist attraction on it. I'll leave it at that.
Projects. But are we going to extend those on out, in terms of what, John and Rose were talking earlier on, as key drivers, for example, there was that college gender history book from the old chair, and Hans Sloan's collection, for example. They're just not going to finish and die after the project is over. What's the chance of taking those on and developing those as
All that work will be fed into everything collectively. There are special pieces of work, particularly if you take our history and our myths, the legends, all the information around that myth that sort of feeds into the tourism strategy. But obviously our terms and conditions around the letter of offer from pieces to how we run these projects. But certainly the information will be used and used to promote it. As kind of Burgess is rightly referred to, maybe make the museum a visitor attraction.
So moving back to item 15, that's exempt. This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3, schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, paragraph 2014. Information related to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during the time of business. Can I get a proposal on the second of the committee? Okay. Proposed in the second of the council of Rand. Proposed charity second of the council of Rand. For the record, on item 15, which is long-term town hall lease of small office along by Chamber of Commerce, the committee has agreed to the recommendation of item 3.1, which was to agree with all town hall to regulate the situation and amend the asset management review, recommend the committee agree council enter into a 3-year lease agreement at a rental of $650 per annum, excessively as the asset subject to completion of all legal formalities.
Opposed
by Councillor O'Brien and Councillor McIntyre. Okay, stay at home, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.